Drive Time on RTE Radio 1. Sponsored by Zurich. For pensions, protection, savings and investments. At Zurich, we deal in peace of mind.
Now, it's been announced that John Hill, the man who led the Independent Commission for the Location of Victims' Remains, is set to retire. The commission was established in 1999 following the Good Friday Agreement to locate and recover the remains of those abducted, murdered and secretly buried during the Troubles, known as the Disappeared. Mr. Hill has been with the Commission since 2006, but is now stepping down as lead investigator. It's a post he's held since 2023, and I'm glad to say John Hill joins us now. You're very welcome, John, to the programme.
Thank you, Colin. Good evening.
Great to talk to you. And after so many years of hard graft with the Commission, it's been 20 years, is that right, that you've been with them now?
Nearly. It'll be 19 years in October this year.
Okay. A tough decision, John, to step aside, I'd say.
It's an incredibly tough decision, and I hope it's not going to be one that I regret. But it's just time. It is time to move on. It's time to step away. I have family commitments that have been neglected for some years now, and it's time I altered that position.
Yeah, and I can decipher from your response even that you've had some sleepless nights thinking about it, like tossing and turning as to whether it's the right thing to do or not.
Yeah, terribly hard. Yeah. I mean, I actually made the decision kind of September or so of last year, and I told the commissioners at the beginning of October, so that some succession planning could be put into place ready for my replacement when I did go. And it isn't an easy decision, and it's one that weighs heavily on my mind.
Yeah, and the commission's work is ongoing, of course, because to date, the remains of 13 of the disappeared have been recovered.
That's right.
But work still is ongoing on four remaining cases, and people will know. We've covered them on this programme as well. Joe Linsky, yeah. Columba McVeigh, Robert Nyrack and Seamus Maguire.
That's right.
And you've worked assiduously on those cases.
I have, and that's the hardest part. I mean, it's easy to walk away when you've found everyone. That would have been the best solution for me. But unfortunately, that isn't the case to date. And the prospects of finding those four are still there. They're still realistic prospects. And my colleagues who are working on continuously, I hope we'll have the success that I've been a part of in the years gone by. But it isn't easy. It gets harder and harder as time goes by. Memories fade, and people, of course, are dying in between, those people who might have had that information that would help. But we just live and hope that they've passed on some detail about it before they have died.
Yeah. I wonder, you say the hopes of finding the remains of those four still remain. A senior Republican source said recently that the remains of Joe Linsky and Robert Nyrack are unlikely to ever be found. I mean, they said the people involved in both cases have passed away and all the leads are kind of exhausted at this point. I mean, when you heard that, what did you make of it?
Well, I don't think that's an accurate reflection, actually, of what they said. I think what they may have said is that they believe that those best sources of information have died. Okay. That doesn't mean there are no chances of information. It doesn't mean that those people haven't passed information on to others that might be able to come to us. It's just more difficult. It doesn't mean it's impossible at all. Of course, the best information is the primary, is the direct information that would have come from those people who were concerned in it.
Okay.
But second to that, it will be secondary information. So we have to live in hope of that, and we certainly haven't given up hope, the Commission haven't given up hope on finding the remaining four.
And secondary information might not be as accurate. I mean, memory can fade for sure, but if you haven't got the information correctly from the primary source, it's very difficult. I've often wondered about this, John, about the process that your team engages in. When you receive information or a tip-off of some sort, what happens?
It's a lengthy process. I mean, ordinarily it is, because it's so old, because the information is so old. But it goes through an evaluation process. So the original information will come in. We will consider that, evaluate it, compare it against other detail that we have that might negate it completely or actually might support it. From there, we will go on to the next stage. So we will look at the supporting information. We then look at historical imagery. particularly in and around wherever this is likely to be, and current imagery. Compare one against the other, see what's changed, what may have proved to be accurate and what may prove to be inaccurate.
So looking for what exactly? You're looking if the ground has changed, is that it?
Well, even the area, you know, let's take it to an extreme. Somebody could believe that somebody's buried in an area that they define to us. When we look at current imagery, we find there's buildings there. And that might still be the case. It could have been there. When we look at historical imagery, we might find there were buildings there then. So that eliminates that.
Okay.
So that wouldn't be realistic to expect that. But of course, it could mean they were slightly out and it might be further away. So it just lengthens the process. But once...
I shouldn't stop you in full train. But when do you bring in other tools, like cadaver dogs, for example?
Well, I was just going to come on to that. So once we've gone past that imagery analysis on that area, we will then look at bringing in forensic archaeologists. They would generally walk the area to see what the feasibility and viability of it, whether there's any early indications that support what we believe has happened. Then and after that would be the cadaver dogs. We would consider those. All of these are possibles. They're not always definites. And then after that will be geophysics. Geophysics will include ground penetrating radar, which you've probably heard of, magnetometry, resistivity. They're all techniques to identify whether the ground has been disturbed in some way, whether there are what they would describe as cut features, a feature that would indicate a burial may have taken place there. It isn't quite as simple as putting the equipment across it and finding the remains or a skeleton. It's nowhere near as simple as that.
Yeah.
So all they're looking for is disturbance in the ground, something different to an area next to it. And then there's also the LIDAR, which is kind of like sonar that you would be familiar with underwater, but that can be flown from aircraft to again, go across the surface of the ground to see what alterations have happened to it and maybe even see what looks like a grave area. In addition to that, there's the GPS gridding. So it's quite a big task to get to that stage. So we use GPS, we grid everywhere out very, very accurately so that we can reflect on what we've done, what hasn't been done, what information we've got, and only then will we consider going to a search phase.
Okay. And the reason I ask you, I've often wondered, when you see footage, and we've covered it in this programme, for example, in Monaghan last year, when you were searching for the remains of Joe Linsky, I think.
Yes.
The process that you've described there, John, if I'm a relation of Joe Linsky's, and it's 50 years ago, I think, or so, since he was abducted and murdered by the IRA. So if I'm a relation of Joe Linsky's, even early in that process, I'm hopeful. My hopes are up again that the remains will be found. How do you deal with the families and how do you not get their hopes up, so to speak?
Well, I mean, it is difficult because managing their expectations is very difficult. And no matter what we say or how I try to manage them, reduce their expectations, of course they're hopeful. But we just have to manage that process as best as we can and be realistic. We're not allowed to reveal information that we have, intelligence that we have or information. All we are allowed to say is where we believe the remains to be. Now, within that, we can incorporate, as we did with the Joe Linsky one, that it's in a graveyard and where that graveyard is. So that was a specific one where we could give a bit more detail than we would have ordinarily. But again, it would have been just that we have information, credible information, that takes us to or makes us believe that he may be buried within a grave in that graveyard. Mm. Even then, we wouldn't have said which grave it is.
Yeah. And then when it happens not to be the case, it's devastating, isn't it? For the family, of course, but even for you as a commission.
It is. It's devastating for everyone. As much as I would try to pretend that I'm managing my own expectations, of course I'm not. And I'm hopeful all the way through. We wouldn't undertake it if we weren't hopeful in the first place. We don't undertake speculative searches. They're always searches with a good expectation of getting a result from it. And it's terribly disappointing for everyone, but mostly for the family. You know, you can't move away from that. They're the ones that it matters the most to.
And you can hear the pain, and we've discussed it with the relatives of the family on this programme. You still, many, many decades later, you can still hear the pain and the anguish, of course, and the hopes in terms of finding. The other one that stands out, and they all stand out now because there are only four cases left of the disappeared, the Captain Robert Naira case.
Yeah,
he was abducted and murdered after visiting a South Armagh bar. I mean, does any one of the four stand out, or do you treat them all equally, or does it depend on how far into the investigation you are?
All of the above, all of what you've just said. I mean, all of them are equally as important to me, or to the commission, I should say, to be resolved. Some of them have a bit more of an impact because there's a personal touch within them. Personally, I find the case of Columba McVeigh the most troubling because I've worked on it ever since I started, since 2006, and I've spent so much time up in Bragg and in Monaghan looking for him, and so many sleepless nights whilst I've been doing that, that I find it very hard to get to this stage and having not found him. But Captain Robert Narek, that was the first search that had been undertaken for him since he went missing in 1977. Yeah. So it was quite a mammoth task, that, and a monumental one, in that we were actually able to undertake a search, but sadly it didn't prove to be where
he
was.
And as you say, you didn't do it on a whim. It was based on incredible information. Can I go back to Columba McVeigh then? A young man that had his life in front of him. Why does that stand out for you? Why does that resonate?
I think because I've been there so long and I've been there so much. You know, we've undertaken searches there that have gone beyond a year. I think it's now about five searches, all of which are very close to each other. And it's almost within touching distance. We just haven't quite touched him. And of course, over that period of time, I have an awful lot of contact with the families. And you can't get away from their hopes and their expectations. It fixes in your mind. I've had, I see it. I can close my eyes. I can view Bragan all the way now, Bragan Bog, because it's indelibly printed in my mind.
Five times Bragan Bog, sir. So obviously, you firmly believe, the commission believes, that it's somewhere there. The remains of Columba McVeigh are there. I mean, do you ever think to yourself, why don't they just let us know? Why doesn't somebody who has information come forward?
Well, to be honest, I think they have. I think those that have the information around where he is have provided it, but it hasn't been accurate enough. And now, if you actually been there and seen the place, you would understand and appreciate how difficult that is, because it is such a vast area. It is pretty indistinguishable from any area beside it. Yeah. And it goes on for miles and miles and miles. It's changed over the years. There's forests have been grown by Quiltshire. They've then been harvested. They've been regrown. You know, so it's changed dramatically over the years. I still am firmly of the opinion that he is there. We just haven't found the right spot. And nobody's given up on that. You know, they're still progressing, and hopefully he will be found.
Yeah. I do appreciate that when you say that you firmly believe. I also like the way you say that he is there. You're looking for Columba McVeigh, the person, and his remains. You seem to have a personal connection with the case, of course, that's quite evident.
It is a person, you know, and it's a young lad who whatever happened that led him to be killed, and I don't comment on that. Whether it was, you know, I don't comment on that at all. But the end result is the family are the ones who are suffering. He isn't suffering anymore. And to just bring him back for a Christian burial really doesn't seem a lot to ask. And it's absolutely imperative that anyone who has some information that could support a search for any of all of the disappeared, that they come forward in complete confidence that the information will never be revealed outside of the commission, and only for that purpose.
And it doesn't
seem to recover his remains.
It doesn't seem a lot to ask that
it doesn't.
The family could give him a Christian burial. Is it? I don't want you to betray any confidences, of course. But is it ever the case that you could go back to a source and say, "We think we just need a little bit more information"? Could we ask?
Absolutely. Yeah, absolutely. It's an ongoing process. And particularly if we get to the end of a search and we haven't found him, then, of course, the first port of call is, well, why haven't we found him? So we're always re-examining that information. And certainly that was the case in France with Seamus Ruddy. That was as a result of going back, revisiting the original information. And that then led us to the right area, so we did find him. And it wasn't that far away from where we'd been looking. It's just, without knowing where to look, Bragan in particular, there's a whole mountain there that could be reasonable to look at.
Well, you have done an immense amount of work since being with the Commission since 2006, I think you say.
It is, yeah.
And well-deserved your retirement. Thank you so much indeed. It's been a privilege to speak with you. John Hill, thank you.
You're welcome. Thank you.